You know, we all know the dangers of distracted driving, all right? We have been told and told and told again that if we try to operate our car or truck and also try to send a text at the same time or look up a song on our mobile device, we're going to get in trouble. An accident might ensue. But social scientists and even neuroscientists are telling us now that there's another danger out there, not just distracted driving, but the danger of distracted living. Over and over again, we're being warned that our mobile devices are taking away our ability to pay attention and to deeply process what's happening to us and to stay in the moment. The interesting thing is, for a lot of us, we look at our mobile devices over and over again out of what's called FOMO, F-O-M-O, the fear of missing out, and yet through the very fear of missing out, we end up missing out on so much, don't we? And that's why I'm particularly intrigued with one verse out of the Christmas story I want us to look at tonight. It's Luke chapter 2, verse 19. Now, the larger context is the story of the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night, and in the night an angel appears to them and lets them know that that the Messiah has been born, and they will find him as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. And then a whole host of angels gather together and sing praises to God for what he has done for humankind. And when the night turned dark again, they rushed to Bethlehem. Now, starting in verse 17 and verse 18, Luke chapter 2, it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And then we see this in verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, the last three Sunday mornings, we've been in a series called Christmas Through Mary's Eyes. We've been discovering a lot about Christmas through the eyes, through the experiences of the one who saw it all. And one of the things that we've discovered over the last three Sunday mornings is how much of a person given to reflection this young woman was. Dr. Luke, the physician that wrote the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, used several verbs to talk about Mary's reaction to what was going on in her life. Luke uses verbs like she wondered and she treasured, and in Luke 2:19, she pondered. Unlike Mary, though, we're not good at pondering, are we? A few years ago, The Onion magazine sort of poked fun at our inability to ponder well. I don't know if you're familiar with The Onion. It still does come out in a print form, in a newspaper form. It's a satire journal. Most of us, though, don't look at it in print form these days. We look on the articles online, and it's, you know, sometimes off color, but it's often on point. And one particular article a few years ago was definitely on point. It's always set up like a newspaper article. And so the title of this article was, Sweating, Shaking Man Never Going to Spend a Little Time with His Thoughts Again. And the article goes like this. Describing it as a harrowing ordeal that he, quote, wouldn't wish on his worst enemy, end quote, badly shaken 39-year-old senior account manager Daniel Tilliston told reporters Friday he would never again spend a few minutes alone with his thoughts. My God, it was just awful. That's the last time I ever take a moment to myself to reflect, a profusely sweating Tilliston said before unsteadily pouring a large glass of whiskey and drinking it down in a single gulp. The worst part is I actually did this to myself. I actually said, I think I'd like a little time alone to think about some things. Then for a few brief, horrible moments, I looked deep within myself and saw who I really was. It was honestly the scariest, most nauseating experience of my life. Tillerson said that if he ever again found himself alone without the distractions of music, the internet, television, or video games, he would repeatedly hit himself in the head with the handiest large blunt object to prevent any sort of return to his own innermost thoughts. Now, the Onion piece was satire, but Science magazine actually reported on the results of some psychology experiments which show that the Onion was pretty much on the mark there. Psychologists got people together and they put them alone, each of them, in rooms for only about 15 minutes. And they asked them to simply sort of verbally report what they thought about the experience. And most people reported they didn't have the experience at all. But then psychologists began to ask themselves, but compared to a slightly unpleasant experience, would you choose the slightly unpleasant experience or sitting alone with your thoughts? And so They did another experiment. They put people each individually alone for 15 minutes in a room. They didn't give them anything to watch. They didn't give them anything to listen to. They didn't give them anything to read. They didn't give them anything to fidget with, except for one thing. Inside the room, in the middle of the room, on a table, was a small device that would issue a small electric shock when you touched it. And they wondered how many times would people touch that electric shock instead of be alone with their thoughts. And they found out that on average, in 15 minutes' time, the average person would touch that object 7 times. Except for one particular man who touched it 109 times in 15 minutes. I think he really needed to distract himself. As it turns out, slightly more men than women will do this. About, go ahead, that's all right. Slightly about more men than women would focus on shocking themselves instead of paying attention to their thoughts on the inside. This is what Science Magazine found. Now, Blaise Pascal would not have been surprised. Blaise Pascal was the 17th century French mathematician and philosopher and a passionate Christian. And he said at one point in one of his writings, "If our condition were truly happy, we should feel no need to divert ourselves from thinking about it." Now that's so important, I should repeat it. If our condition were truly happy, we should feel no need to divert ourselves from thinking about it. Without distractions and left alone to our thoughts, we're forced to examine the worth of our assumptions and our behaviors and our priorities. Rod Dreher, a contemporary blogger, said, "If you don't control your own attention, there are plenty of people who will do it for you." So how can we control our own attention? How can we, like Mary, ponder better? I want you to write 5 words down somewhere on your notes, and then I'm going to speak briefly about each one of them. The words are remove and review and recalibrate and record and report. Remove, review, recalibrate, record, and report. This is the way to ponder better. So first of all, remove. Remove yourself from distractions for a while. Unplug. Stay off Netflix. Tune out talk radio. Turn off the 24-hour television news programs. Silence the notifications on your phone. Even better, for a while, silence your phone. I know some church leaders and business leaders who take a social media break, a social media fast, on a regular basis, about 1 month or even 2 months in the summertime. They don't post and they don't read tweets on Twitter or posts on Facebook or anything like that. And they say that what they gain back is a greater ability to pay attention to what's going on around them. I don't know if you saw this, but recently one of the, what was he, the CFO, I think it was, of Facebook, who said he really regretted being part of inventing Facebook. He said it has kind of sucked our ability out from us, our ability to pay attention and to remain in the moment and focus on certain things. He doesn't let his kids on Facebook. He himself has removed Facebook from his phone. I don't know if he got in trouble for saying that, because I think he's still drawing some sort of income from Facebook. But still, we need to remove ourselves from all kinds of distractions. And second, review. Once you've unplugged, then take the time to review your life. Review how you're doing and the goals you want to achieve. But even more than that, ask yourself if you're becoming the kind of person you hope to be at this stage in your life. What kind of character are you forming? How are you treating others? How are your joys and frustrations of life making you feel? What do you think God is trying to say to you through the experiences that you're going through right now? It's very difficult to be able to answer those questions until you've removed yourself from distractions. But once you remove, then you need to review. Third, recalibrate. As you review your life, see if it needs recalibration. Now, you know what recalibration is, right? It is measuring something up against a certain standard and then adjusting that thing back up to the standard if it's off kilter. Now, the standard that those of us who are followers of Christ have is what? It's the Word of God. So we look into the Word of God, we find out what kind of people we're supposed to be, what kind of character we're supposed to form, what kind of attitudes we're supposed to hold, the way we're supposed to treat other people. And so as we review our lives, we review our life up against a certain standard and recalibrate if we need to. Now, this is the difference, by the way, between what you'd call Christian meditation, what we're talking about tonight, and Eastern forms of meditation. Buddhism, for example, teaches meditation, but it's about detaching yourself. It's about emptying your mind of the worries and the distractions of this world. Christian meditation is not so much emptying yourself, but filling yourself with the right things, filling yourself with the Word of God and evaluating yourself up against what you find in the Word of God. And so we need to look into the Word of God and let it reform our character and our hopes and our practices. We need to look at the Word of God and let it redefine what we call success and what we call getting ahead in this world. So you need to read your Bible. Now, if it's been a long time since you've tried to read the Bible, or if you've never read the Bible before, let me just give you a practical suggestion. Start with the Psalms, the prayer book of the Bible. It's the poetry section of the Bible. Or go to the Proverbs, these little short bumper sticker length statements that tell you what kind of person you ought to be or how you ought to live. Start with that. Or go into the New Testament and take a look at the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is a little short 6-chapter book, and it talks about what you ought to think about God for the first 3 chapters and how you ought to behave in light of that in the last 3 chapters. Or you can take one of the biographies of Jesus, if you will, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but start somewhere and let the Bible be a tool to recalibrate you to the kind of person you want to be and you know that God wants you to be. Here's a fourth thing to write down. Record. Record. Get a journal and write down your thoughts and your questions. Journaling will help you think more clearly. It'll help you stay focused on how you're reviewing your life. But it'll do something else too. If you save those journals and look back at them 5 or 6 years later, you'll find out how far, hopefully, you've come in your growth and understanding more and more about the Lord and what He wants for your life. And then finally, the last word is reports. Report to others what you've been pondering. Now, this doesn't sound, for some of us, like pondering. Because for us, we tend to divide the world into 2 types of people. There are those deep thinkers that are always alone and off by themselves. And then there are those shallow people who are always yammering on about their life and about, you know, what's happening to them and that kind of thing. And because we have that misunderstanding, we don't understand why it's so important to report what we've been pondering to other people. But I want you to think about it. If you are not reporting your thoughts about God and where you are in your relationship with God, if you're not reporting that to other people, that's actually a sign of arrogance. That's an indication that you don't feel you need the accountability that other people can provide your life. But as you think through who you are and whether you're living up to what you want to be, as you think through who God is and what He wants for your life, as you sort of bounce those thoughts openly to other people that you've learned to trust, you are holding yourself accountable to them, and you're letting them mold you and shape you and help you understand better what's going on in your thoughts. And so, in the end, outer accountability with others will make us better at inner pondering when we're alone. And so these are the 5 things that we need to pay attention to in order to ponder better. We need to remove and review and recalibrate and record and report. And if we'll do that, then I think that we'll find ourselves like Mary, treasuring up the experiences of our lives and pondering them, mulling over them, thinking through the implications of them in our lives. We need to be more and more like Mary and less like the people who would rather shock themselves than pay attention to what's going on and their inner thoughts. The Bible says that Mary treasured up all that was happening around her and within her. She hovered over those things. And then she drew some conclusions for those things. I hope that sometime in this busy season, between now and the new year, you'll have a little opportunity to do some of these things I'm talking about and become more like Mary, learning how to ponder better. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would help us to do these very things that we've been talking about tonight so that we can understand more about You, we can understand more about Your character, we can understand more about Your promises, and we can recalibrate, we can realign our lives to what we find in Your Word. We ask, Lord, that You would help us to be honest with ourselves. If we have found it a long time since we've taken any serious consideration, any serious pondering about what's going on in our lives, we apologize for that. We repent of it. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be more and more like Mary, who treasured up the experiences she was having with her newborn son. And she pondered these things. She mulled these things over in her heart. Lord, we ask that you would help us to do that as well. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to move back out into our lives after this service, different people than the people that came in here. People that are more ready to pay attention to you and pay attention to the people that you have so graciously put in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.